We greet you again this evening in the name of the Deliverer, the one who came to set us free, the one who has all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. And in his name we greet you. The title tonight is The Blessed Reality of Spiritual Deliverance and Liberty. And it's an exciting subject compared to last night's, but unless we think about the peril of spiritual bondage, we're not ready for liberty in Christ either. We're not ready for deliverance until we realize the peril of bondage, unless we've lived it. But there is deliverance, and I hope tonight's message is a bit more on the positive side. But to get us thinking about it, I'd like us to open our songbooks to 747. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, and this song is a testimony song, and I don't know who all feels that they're free tonight, but I trust that this service would help us to make that decision if we're not free yet. I invite you to stand to your feet. Do mi som. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that shattered my life. Glory. From fear and all sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil temper and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold, glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever he shall be mine. Freedom from fear and all of its torments, freedom from death with all of its pain, freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer, he who has rent my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever
shall be mine.
And you may be seated. At the end of last evening's message, we came to the part where I said that, using the Bible terminology, that whenever a person finds themselves in the spiritual bondage that we spoke of last night, there is the need that a stronger than he, the stronger than the strong one who has control of us, needs to come in and take over. And I remember when I was a teenager in the early days of the Charity Christian Fellowship back at that time, I remember often being in prayer meetings during revival meetings or during special weekend meetings that we had back then. And I remember often hearing the phrase, "Father in heaven, bind the strong man." And I never realized until some of the types of things that maybe we illustrated last night and some things that I've observed since, what that really means. In other words, the power of the devil must be broken, must be put to the side so Christ can come in and take over. But this evening, by the help and grace of God and your prayers, we want to look at, as I already mentioned, the title, "The Blessed Reality of Spiritual Deliverance and Liberty." By way of illustration, those of you who have studied United States history know that the early colonists of Eastern United States had this cry, specifically the New England states. They cried, "Liberty or death." And it seems to have been the war cry of the 1770s, which fueled the Revolutionary War and led to what became known as the independence of the United States. But my dear friends, as I already said last night, that there physical bondage, incarceration, impairment is one thing. But spiritual bondage is so much more severe, and the consequences are so much more far-reaching. And when we think about it, which is more serious? To be incarcerated, to be under a regime of government that is very oppressive, or whether we're under the devil's grip in our lives? And we do not have freedom from that long list of things that we sang about just a few moments ago. I trust that song is our testimony, and this would be hopefully pointing us in that direction if we are not. The first point of the message tonight is from bondage to deliverance. From bondage to deliverance. And the first thing we want to notice is we need a personal encounter with the deliverer. With the one who can set us free. We need a personal encounter with him. In Isaiah 50 and verse 2, God asks his people some questions. He says, "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver?" That was a question, some questions that God asked through the prophet Isaiah to his people. But let's remember, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says the following: "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And one of the thoughts that again and again has impressed me is one time as I was a student in school, they took us one day on a field trip to a planetarium. And I so well remember that day being there. And the fellow showed us how the stars and constellations and planets are. And they had this projection on the dome in that planetarium. It was very, very fascinating to watch. But he said, "I'm a Christian and I want you to know that." And he said, "Whenever I bring in a group of people like you," he said, "one thing that I like to tell them is the very fact that the Bible tells us in Psalm 8 that God made all that stuff out there and the stars and planets, solar system, galaxies, and all of the innumerable quantity that's out there, he made that with his fingers." But he said, "I want you to know something else, and that is when he needs to rescue a soul, he uses his arm. And if you'd like something inspirational as you are going out of Bible school by tomorrow evening and go on with your life. Make a study of the arm of God and what the arm of God can do. One day God asked Job this question. He said, "Hast thou an arm like God?" And I just want us to remember that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And he knows how to rescue your soul from hell tonight, from the power of the evil one. And he flexes a little bit of divine muscle to do it. And that power is available to you tonight. And it's available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And I want us to make sure we never forget that. There's no temptation that can come on top of a Christian or come on top of you, because the Lord knows how to deliver out of temptation. One of the things that God knows. And let us never forget that, my friends, tonight. But are you enjoying that freedom in your life? Are you free in Christ? This evening, I will tell you ahead of the fact that we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, and you don't have to turn to everything. Not nearly. And not all of them will I turn to either. Maybe just make reference to them. But some of these scriptures I do not know as well, and so I will need to search them out, most of them. But we're going first of all to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Jesus here is beginning his earthly ministry. He walks into a synagogue one morning, and they hand him a book to read out of. He recognizes it as the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He scrolls through there until he finds this passage in Isaiah 6, what in our Bibles is Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, and reads the following words. Luke 4:17. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So when you think about being in the prison house of the devil, we spoke briefly of that last night. One of the reasons Jesus came is to give liberty to the captives, and to heal, and to give liberty to them that are bruised. And that's where we're going tonight. If you want to go over now to Romans chapter 7, and I think if I remember correctly, we actually read the last words of this chapter 7, but we're going on into chapter 8, because I want to show you the contrast that occurs whenever a person is translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, into the kingdom of Christ. What is the drastic contrast? What is the difference between bondage that we talked about last night, spiritual bondage, and being liberated from the prison house of the devil? What does that look like? And I fear tonight, and I may as well say this right now, that too many Christians live their Christian life as of two of these young fellows here with approximately the same physical capacity and weight were to do a wrestling match. And some people, I fear, have this concept that the flesh and the spirit are a little bit like two fellows that are almost equal in power one with another. And they're wrestling there on the floor. And whenever you wake up in the morning and just have no foggy clue if the devil's going to be in charge of my life today, if I'm going to be just succumb to temptation after temptation, evil thing after evil thing. Oh, maybe because I had a good song service last night, I'm going to be all keyed up in the Lord's going to be so near and dear to me. And it's just like two that are continuously tumbling on the floor, and you never can quite tell who's going to be on top. My dear friends, it doesn't have to be that way. And as we get to the end of chapter 7, that's exactly what we find. Somebody that in their own power, without the power of God, they realize how wretched their condition is without the power of God in their life. And they're just like wrestling with the evil things, and well, is the spirit going to be on top today, or is it going to be the devil on top today? Who's going to win? We have no clue, because we're just tantalized with carnality just enough that, yeah, but we want to be good Christians too. But is that your experience? Romans 7:24, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" 7:25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But then we go right on into chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be revealed in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are just so tantalized by the temptations and by the evils the devil brings your way, we need to have some divine operation. We need a cry for the deliverer to set us free from bondage. Jump down to verse 15. We could read a lot more here. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I just love that song we sang. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They bore it, bury effectual prayers. They strongly speak for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, and let not the ransomed sinner die. And then the other verse says, and Father, Abba, Father, cry. Wow, what a blessing. And that can be our experience tonight. We don't have to be in the prison house of the devil. We don't have to be under spiritual bondage. There's freedom. There's deliverance available to anyone who wants it or needs it by faith in Jesus Christ. Now we're going to be a lot in the Corinthian letters tonight, but we're going right now to 2 Corinthians. And we're in chapter 1 and verse 9. It says the following, 2 Corinthians 1, 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that by the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given on many on our behalf. But did you notice how it says it talks about the sentence of death that was upon us? And I know that we all in this life, unless Jesus comes first, as we read in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, talking about the rapture or when Jesus comes in the clouds to take his own to be with him, if we don't see that, and if we die believing, we know that physical death is upon us sometime sooner or later. However, this is, to my understanding, is speaking of spiritual death. And we had that sentence of death upon us when we were in the prison of house of the devil and no way out. But my dear friends, tonight, it says here, who delivered us from so great a death. The second death, it can be behind us. We don't have to go there anymore when we've been delivered. And doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. When I think of this, I think of the freedom from penalty of sin in the past, the power of sin in the present, and the presence of sin in the future. Wherever there will be no more a temptation, there will be no more sad things in life. We had some visitors over the weekend. I was totally not expecting visitors this weekend. But it just brought back a vivid memory, and I'm just going to have to tell you the story, okay? So I had a dear friend in Costa Rica. We farmed together. We sang together. We were in a men's singing group together. Our parents, our dad's land joined in the back, not in the front, but in the back the land joined because of the way the land lay back along that river. And he was a dear friend. Same youth group, a dear friend, but whenever there was a revival meeting or something like that, there was a besetting sin in that man's life. He was 3 weeks younger than myself, And I tell you, my friends, it was a hard day because he just struggled with something. He just had a personal struggle. And again, God would convict him, and again, he would fail. And again, God would convict him, and again, he would fail. And this happened. It was this way for years. And at one point in his life, he decided it's time to get serious and see if we can get over this besetting sin and get victory in this problem in my life. And I tell you, my friends, that he started reaching out for help, and he got some help. And he started looking at root causes of these problems in his life. And the fascinating thing is that he started to climb. He started to climb out of this hole of continuous defeat and ongoing defeat. He started to find victory in Jesus. Praise God. And one day, he was doing well for a period of time. It was, and yet one day he walked into a doctor's office or a dentist or an eye doctor or something, because he did have an eye injury. And I don't know what office he was into, but there was some magazines lying there, and he stumbled again. I don't even need to describe what happened. He stumbled again. And he felt so terrible. He's doing well for so long, and now finally he stumbled and messed up all over again, and he felt terrible about it. But he came and confessed his sin and got made this right and brought it out to the light again, and he was living in victory. And one night there was a school program at a distant school, and he was on his way there, and that we had did a lot of motorcycle transportation there, and he was riding his motorcycle, and he never knew this until it was all over, but a truck pulled out to pass somebody else and never saw his motorcycle, and there was a head-on collision. And my dear friend Timo was killed. They said whenever some of my brother-in-laws got to the site of the accident, one of them being a Red Cross personnel himself, he said the boy was crying because he was just in the end of his life. And I tell you one thing, it was a vivid and very, very clear message to all of us, because we knew that he died in victory. We knew that he died to save man. We knew that it was, and I tell you, it was one of the hardest things, because it was getting right at the time of the year when we did Christmas singing, and we went all over our communities, nights of a week, just going out and singing to neighbors and friends and people and in town and wherever all. And I just didn't know how we'd ever do it without my friend. And we just got done with a recording in our singing group. And how are we going to do another one? I remember just crying. It was a terrible hard time. And I remember the group of us men singers were in the front row in his funeral. I remember it very, very vividly. But that afternoon, after the funeral was over, those of us in the singing group stood arm in arm. We put the casket up here on top of shoulders. And me with my hand on my buddy's shoulder beside me, his shoulder hand on my shoulder, and carrying that casket out to the grave. And during that evening, it was a most beautiful sunset. And I just remember looking to the western sky and seeing that sunset, and I was just thinking, my friend Timo is home free, praise God. He's free from it. He's free from the besetting sin. He's free from the temptation. He won't have to fight it anymore. That was exactly the words of one of Pablo's brothers, his youngest one, Nathan. He said, Virgil, now Tim don't have to fight anymore. It's over. Praise God! That's what it's about. Are you free tonight? Are you delivered from the power of the devil in your life? We can be free from the penalty of sin in the past and the guilt and the shame. We can be free of it. We can be free from the power of sin today, and we can be free whenever we get to the other side from the presence of sin if we continue serving Jesus till our journey's end. To God be the glory. Psalm 51. How do we get there? Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindnesses. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Does that sound like deliverance to you? Whenever you cry out to God, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Let your Holy Spirit stay right here. Please. Don't cast me away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then deliverance comes. Then liberty comes. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. The same person that was one day in the prison house of the devil can be a testimony and on fire for God and doing God's work. It's possible, my dear friends. Have you had a personal encounter with the deliverer? Psalm 17:13 says, deliver my soul from the wicked. Oh God, help me when I feel the temptation coming on. God, help me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I've prayed it many times. I need to often, because there's many temptations. And I know where my weak spots are, at least some of them. And you have to ask God, deliver me from this temptation. Deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. He has the power. From deliverance to liberty, Colossians 1. Second point of the message, from deliverance to liberty. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Has that experience of being translated, the metamorphosis experience from a caterpillar to a butterfly, the new birth, as the Bible calls it in John 3, becoming a new creature, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever gone from deliverance and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son from the kingdom of darkness? And through the redemption of his blood, the forgiveness of sins, have you experienced it? Are you living it tonight? I was blessed by a verse, and you can turn to it if you care to. You don't have to. Back in Isaiah 38. I love some of these Old Testament pictures. We already looked at one in Psalm 51. If you're turning there, I might say why it was that this weekend the visitors that came again reminded me of the story I told you a bit ago, and that is because two of that boy's sisters were at our house and ate lunch there on Sunday. He has a sister that's somewhat limited and always was, and she was talking about her dear brother Tim, and it just brought all the memories back again. And it was a blessed time to visit there with her, talking about her dear brother. It was quite an experience to think it over again. I said Isaiah 38, we're verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now think about it. Have you ever experienced being rescued from the pit of corruption? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been delivered from that? And to think that God, being who God is, is able to take our sins, and I realize this is Old Testament language, and cast them behind his back. If you go over, I think it is to the book of Micah, it talks about he has put all those iniquities in the depths of the sea, forgiven them, in other words. Isn't that amazing? But has that been your experience? Is it real in your life? Is it real in my life? That's why Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press forward. If we've made restitution, we've apologized where we needed to take care of things in the past, we, by the grace and help of God, pursue a course forward. We don't want to look back. We don't want to go back to the old life. We want to be free from it and stay free from it and experience Christian liberty. And that's where we're going next. Proper perspectives of Christian liberty. Because, my dear friends, tonight I have to be fair with you and helping you understand that in our world, Christian liberty is a huge subject. A couple years ago, I was thinking about some people that are very famous in this area and beyond. I don't care to do a bunch of name calling, but I saw there was going to be a seminar in such and such a place, Breaking Chains. And I began to study this a little bit. What's this format all about? Around the same time that I was studying that, in brief, I wasn't really digging into it, but I was observing the pictures and reading some of the doctrine written there. A friend of mine came from another country. He was going to attend one of these seminars, held actually quite close to here. He came and sat down in my living room because they're relatives of my wife, or my relatives, that's one of my wife's cousins. And the man come and sat in my living room after he was done with the seminar. He said, Virgil, he said, something doesn't make sense. He said, there was teaching there like I've never heard in my entire life. He's from a setting where some of the teaching that you totally take for granted is unknown to them, okay? But he said, Virgil, he said, I just couldn't understand it. Why, whenever we get liberated, we have these tremendous speaking out, and he described to me what he saw, and he said something about it didn't seem right. What do you describe as being? What was the problem? Why didn't I feel rest in my spirit about it? He was hardly able to communicate what he was feeling, but he said, what is the problem? One of the problems is that in the modern world, if you are touched by what, God forbid, Christian psychology, which is nothing but a Christian name attached to worldliness, a bunch of reasons why we don't have to do what God tells us to do, modern theology being the same thing, all of that stuff is things that say God's word doesn't mean what it says, it means this over here. And furthermore, they tell you that if you had an abusive childhood, some church leader didn't treat you all nice and pretty, if you experienced some kind of church discipline at some point in your life because of sin that you've committed, they tell you that you have a right to give a free rein to all kinds of evil in your life. And that's not the Bible I read. I never find that in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. He didn't say you have a license to do it now because somebody mistreated you. He didn't say that. Christian liberty, my friends, tonight, has to do with loving Jesus, taking his cross up daily, and following him and obeying the scripture. It has nothing to do with throwing a bunch of stuff away and giving us a free pass because we had something bad in our history. It doesn't give us a free pass. You're not going to go before the throne of God and stand there in judgment day and say, my parents mistreated me and now I just lived as a fornicator, or I was really bitter, or I couldn't control my anger. It's not going to get through. Sin can never enter there. For that reason, my friends, we need to be free of that kind of mentality. And I have some close friends that are living exactly that. It's a sad day. Some of them would have been able to have had a wedding in a church setting almost the same as this, maybe with some slight variance. But today there is no difference at all between them and the people that walk up and down the streets of the local city that don't know Jesus in their appearance, but they can talk the talk just the same, posting Bible verses every day on their cell phone, passing it out to the family. And yet, every month that goes past, there's more changes toward worldliness. And it's heartrending. It's heartrending. But now, according to them, they're free in Jesus. Really? I remember a man that's not living anymore. I worked with him several years. There was a young lady that grew up in a very plain community. And she one day found out what, in her opinion, Christian liberty was. And this man wasn't very capable with words. He stammered a bit, and it was hard for him to express himself. And he and I, because of work project, were driving down the road one day. And this lady was walking toward us, very immodestly dressed, walking her huge dog. And he said, "Virgil, I just want you to know that lady right there has freedom from religion." And I don't know if he intended to say it that way, but that's exactly what it was. There was nothing there to indicate that she ever went to Sunday school class or sat in Bible school like you are right now. It was no indication that she sat under the very good preachers of this area. There's no indication anywhere she was free. But let's not go there, my friends. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said that. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." It doesn't say you have a license because of it, that this and that experience of your history to throw it all away. No, sir. That won't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. We'll be in the Corinthian letters here for a bit. First Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And this has a context here, and I wish I could explain it all to you. But my dear friends, it never does us any harm if when we're with people who have some convictions that are not the same as ours, possibly more conservative than ours, to make some small adjustments to respect them. It never does us any harm to do that. It never does us any harm to respect someone else's conscience if it is Bible trained and if it is under God's Spirit's direction. If God is asking them to do that, we do not need to belittle them or make fun of them or anything else. We can respect them for who they are and what God has given them. Maybe they need some more help. Maybe they need some more teaching. But in the meantime, never, ever, ever, ever makes fun of someone else's convictions. Because there might be somebody that thinks that you're a little strange too. And for sure, a 55-year-old like me, they probably think I'd do a couple things that are just not necessary. However, let's be careful how we use the liberty that Christ has given us. There's some more teaching about this in the next chapter. Let's go to chapter 9 and verse 19. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." I guess it goes without saying, If you're working with Catholic people in your community, you do need to learn a little bit about their understanding of scriptures, because they do have one, believe it or not. They surely do. To be able to witness to them in a proper way. Just a few weeks ago, I was in the West and they were telling me about the Mormon people that are in their area. Mormons have a lot of things in common with people like yourselves. They believe in large families. They have family values very strongly ingrained in them. And the people there are finding it hard to reach into the Mormon community. What they need to learn is a little bit of the verses we had here. And this whole thing of liberty is something that we need to be careful about. It doesn't mean that we become Mormons to gain Mormons. No, it doesn't mean we become Catholics to gain Catholics. But there is a time and place when we need to at least try to understand them, and hopefully they can try to understand us in measure. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to explain here. It's all part of Christian liberty. Now we're going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a lot in between here we could look at, but I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things, but all things edify not. Let every man seek, let no man seek his own, but every man and others wealth. And then down to verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, by merit of Christian liberty, you could do probably a lot of things. But there's a couple problems. Number one, if you're a member of a congregation, you have to think about what the brotherhood thinks. And what would my doing this, buying that vehicle, parking that in the parking lot beside so-and-so's car, how does that look? All things are lawful. It's very possible there's nothing wrong with it, but does it blend in? I can go to the store and buy such and such dress material, but does it blend in with my brothers and sisters? Is it acceptable? Is it okay? It might be lawful. I'd probably find a church that allows it. But how does it blend in with the brotherhood where I have committed myself? And there's many, many, many illustrations through life. You can add another 100 acres to your farm, or 500 if you have the money to. You can add, make that $500,000 investment and add on to your business. But is it going to add to the kingdom of God? Or is it going to make you look like some better businessman? Is it going to make you be more humble or more Christ-like or more free to serve in the kingdom? Or what is it going to do? And that's why it says one of the ways we determine Christian liberty is by going down to verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And if God can't receive honor and glory out of the decisions and lifestyle that we live and the decisions we make from day to day, then we better be considering whether it's in God's will or not. We need to really think about these things. Because Christian liberty isn't the gate wide open to do everything I want to do the way I want to do it. I've got to think about brotherhood agreements and my personal commitment to that and how it blends in. And if nothing else, what God says about it. Is it God's will that I go out and spend all these dollars on this thing or on that new hunting gear or whatever it might be? What does God say about it? Would we spend at least 5 minutes asking God's opinion? Or our brothers? Or our parents? I'm afraid sometimes that the people of God have limited ability to reach sinners because of our materialism. People see us as being sometimes the ones that got it financially put together, and maybe our affluence is hindering our witness. At the end of the day, God's people are supposed to live by faith and do all to the glory of God. And how do we do that? We need to do it in the realm and the confines of Christian liberty, and not serving our flesh in it, but serving God and serving others. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Are those decisions we're making about the things we're purchasing, or that new addition that we're putting into our wardrobe, the kind of music that we're listening to? Are we thinking about where the Spirit of the Lord is? Is God pleased with the things that I listen to regularly? The playlist, if you have one on your phone, or the CDs that are in your vehicle, is God okay with it? Would your pastor be okay with it? Or would you say, not quite? Then why not? In the realm of Christian liberty, there's a lot of liberty when we live inside the parameters that God has designed for our good. For some reason, this is another burden of mine. As I think about this situation of Christian liberty, some people, I read this illustration. If you lived on the 30th floor of a skyscraper, and you had, like I've seen multitudes of these buildings in New York City, was just there about a month and a half ago or so, I was just amazed. For some people, the only backyard they have is a piece of concrete hanging out over, way, way up in the air, and a railing out there. Many people, seems like they're very happy to live their Christian life with no railing at the edge of the porch, 30 stories in the air. Because they're free. They can do what they want to do. They can make the decisions that they want to make. And they're very, very living on the edge of danger the whole time. And because they think they're free, they don't need any fences. They don't need anybody to tell them what to do. They don't need any brotherhood agreements. It's all good because I know where my liberty goes to. And the problem is that too many of them, on top of that, are over there playing with the edge, just seeing how close they can get without dropping into the abyss. And they play with sin and just see how far they can go. They want a church that doesn't have any standards. They want a church that allows them to be free. But where does it take them? It takes them straight into the stuff we were talking about last night. That's what happens. They go right back into the devil's prison house. Maybe not immediately, but eventually. And it's a sad thing. But the Spirit of God doesn't lead us to that edge. The Spirit of God would have a fence there for our own safety and our own good. And I verily believe that tonight. First Peter chapter 2. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, notice that, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It's God's will that we, as His people, by well-doing, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men and foolish preachers that teach you you can live on the 30th floor of a skyscraper and have no edges at the edge of your porch. That's foolishness. It says, as free, you know, because there's some standards in this world, it makes the road a safe place to drive. Otherwise, it would be totally unsafe to be anywhere on the road. You'd never know which way somebody's going to drive. A stop sign wouldn't mean anything. If that's the way, if people conducted their spiritual lives the way the government would want us to drive down the road, what would be the comparison? But yet they're free. They can stop or go whenever they feel like it, drive on the side of the road that they want to. And they try to conduct their Christian life that way. They want to go to a church that doesn't ask anything of them. Why? Does that line up with what we just read here? As free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. That's a pretty strong word. But as servants of God. Free as servants of God. And then it gives some directives. Honor all men. Respect the people that are close to you. Look up and down the road that you're seated on. Honor them, each one, especially if they're brethren. Love the brotherhood. Do you love to go to church? Is it a good thing to listen to the message of your pastor where you are on a normal Sunday morning? Do you love the brotherhood? Do you fear God? Oh, would God would give us an anointing anew of godly fear, that we would have that instilled in our hearts. How can I do such and such great wickedness and sin against God? That godly fear would control our minds and our thoughts and our hearts. And we'd think Godward first. Do all to the glory of God, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. How is it in your life and mine? And finally, honor the king. Yes, pay your taxes. Yes, obey the laws of the land as long as it does not contradict the will of God and his word for you. As free, but loving the brotherhood. As free, but fearing God. As free, but honoring all men and honoring the king or the policeman or whoever. Maintaining Christian liberty. Point number four. Psalm 119, 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. For I seek thy precepts. I trust, going back now to the first evening we had about the youth and their devotional life, I trust that you are seeking God's precepts. I trust that as you open your Bible, you're looking for a little nugget of truth to take with your soul and in your mind for the day. I trust that that's what you're doing as you open God's Word. I will walk at liberty. Why? Because I seek thy precepts. I'm looking, God, for your direction. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal shall a young lady cleanse her way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And when I want to walk in God's way, show me thy way, O Lord. Do you think God's going to stand around the corner and just let you figure it out? No, he's going to show you what you should do. He's going to make it clear. I will walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts. And if that's our heart, if it's toward the word of God, if it's in godly fear, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If that is our heart's desire, my dear friends, tonight, it will put us in the path of Christian liberty. James chapter 2, verse 12 says this, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. I've spoken to many friends of mine that don't love the Lord. And one thing that I just desire that people would know is Jesus' words in John chapter 12 and verse 48. I remember the day that these verses gripped my heart. It says here, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And my dear friends, this evening, I would like to at least suggest to us that if you and I are serious about walking in liberty, if we're serious about pleasing God in a little bit the way we've described and a whole lot more we didn't say or couldn't say tonight, I just want us to know that this much of the Scripture is going to be our standard on Judgment Day, at least this much. Have you read it lately? The New Testament. We claim to be New Testament believers. We claim to be New Testament Christians. But it says here, so speak ye and so do. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and the things that I do as they that will be judged by. Jesus says the words that I have spoken, they will judge you in the last day. Are we ready for that? Allowing this word of liberty Freedom from the bondage of sin. And freedom to serve God and serve our brethren and serve our community by being a light and a testimony and salt and light of the earth. Are we allowing it to do its work and effect of our lives? Or are we just chasing after the temptations and tantalizing things of the devil? Where are we at tonight? So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for it, my dear friends? Galatians chapter 5. Maintaining Christian liberty says here, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage that we talked about last night. Please don't go back there. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. It is one of the saddest things when in a fellowship people start to do what verse 15 says. It's a sad day. And God forbid that it should happen among us. And then it goes on speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law, but under grace, we read in another place. And then it speaks about the evidences, the fruit of wickedness. And then it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Most of you know those verses by heart. And then it says in verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that walking in the Spirit, my friends, tonight is a controlled life. The Spirit of God controls those who walk in the Spirit. Is He controlling your life tonight? In closing, I'd just like to go back now to the book of John. I know I referred to this last night. As we bring this message to a close, I'd like to once again give an invitation, because if you're still living in the devil's prison house, we want you to be free. And if you're dabbling with some sin tonight in your life, and it looks so tantalizing and tempting, we want you to know there's deliverance and liberty available. And we just want to invite you to make the change that God is asking you to make, if such are in this listening assembly tonight. John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the son abideth not in the house, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The apostle Paul, as he came to the end of his life's journey, writing probably his last letter to Timothy, he said the following words, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Are you walking in liberty tonight? Are you still in the devil's prison house? Are you desiring to walk in liberty but feel the temptation ever so strong, and the temptation to go back to an old life? Where are you tonight? And what is your experience? What is your testimony? Is it liberty in your life tonight, or is it death? What is it? As we consider this, let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we just want to stop and talk to you a little bit tonight and just ask you, Lord, to have your own way in this assembly. If there's somebody here tonight that is struggling, that is thinking about some of the things that we've been sharing and things that they've been learning in this Bible school and things that you're working in their hearts about, their conscience is being touched, and their mind is heavy tonight, I pray that you would help them to find liberty and deliverance from sin. And Lord, if there's somebody here that's in a spiritual battle and needs help, we pray that you would give them the grace to reach out tonight for help and for grace to live victoriously and find freedom, freedom in Christ, liberty in Jesus, victory in Jesus. Oh, Father, may it be our portion, each and every one. And Lord, if you are speaking to anyone tonight, help them to respond to your call is our desire and prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.